Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader. Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. You can crunch the numbers so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. So leave the calculator at home. Visit AutoTrader.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
By the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes. It's our review of The Tragedy of Macbeth. My name is Grace. I'm here with my co-host, Ariel. Ariel, how you doing?
Good day to thee.
How art thou,
kind queen mistress? I am so happy to be here with someone who is much more knowledgeable about Macbeth than I am.
This is a lot of pressure for me. I did, as we were talking before the podcast, I did watch this movie twice, once with subtitles and once without. And then I did study Macbeth in high school. It's one of the plays we studied. So I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of what happens in Macbeth, but it's still Shakespeare, you know, it's like, you know, not super easy. Apple TV Plus film was released in theaters and streaming. Denzel Washington, Frances McDormand. I guess up top we should talk, you know, our big picture thoughts. What did you think, Aaron?
I also saw it twice. The first time I was at the theater, so I did not have the option of subtitles. Yeah. Although afterwards I regretted, like, they do offer when movies are new, like, subtitled showings. Uh-huh. And I was like, wow, I'm like usually against it, even on TV. And I'm like, wow, I really needed it for this.
Yeah.
And then I did watch it again with subtitles. And it helped a lot. It helped a lot. To your point, the Shakespearean language is very flowery, very... in some ways, it's very direct. And in some ways, it's just, like, kind of nonsensical.
Yeah.
But the movie is beautiful. It is a stacked cast, like you said.
Yeah.
A lot of big names having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It looks amazing, like I said. Like the fact that it's black and white, they get away with so much cool imagery that maybe would have looked a little less realistic or whatever had it been in color. But that to me was the most striking thing. Just how many times I saw something on the screen that was like, wow, that looks really cool.
Yeah, I don't know if this like will make any sense. It was like, wow, this is such a cool way to do a play in a movie. Just the way it looked. Like it's very, the set design is very simple. They use lighting very well, even though it's like in black and white. The set design is eerie and simple at the same time. It's just, I think, yeah, it's visually quite a stunning movie with some like really good performances. I think particularly Denzel Washington, Frances McDormand is getting like Oscar buzz based on this performance, which I'm not sure I 100% see. I think, you know, I love Frances McDormand. Catherine Hunter as the witches and the old man, I thought is just like
that is, as far as I'm concerned, as like the filthiest Shakespearean casual, like that is the standout performance of the whole thing. Or I guess her performance is, because it is several characters, even just the witches.
It's just like, I don't want to do it in the non-spoiler section, but like, it's just, it again, the simplicity in the way that it's then like creepy. it's so simple and creepy. It's amazing. Steven Root shows up for a minute. It's like
hot
see in this movie. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's definitely worth watching. I did not watch it in a theater. I kind of like would be intrigued by seeing it in a theater. But nevertheless, I do think it's worth watching. For sure. It's Joel Cohen. Interesting enough, like it's his first movie, not with his brother. This is the movie he decided to make. I guess his brother was just like, no, thanks. I'm okay.
Brother's like, hard pass. Like I have bad memories. Yeah. It's funny. I just like did like ramp instead of, like looking it up. I was just like, oh, let me like just rampantly speculate. I just pictured the one brother being like, absolutely not.
I'm not doing Shakespeare, man. Like, it was so boring. I guess like, Frances McDormand is married to Joel Cohen, right? So then there's that, right? So it's like,
so I don't
like
think...
you want your wife to be Lady Macbeth? Yeah, it's like, well, I'm gonna do this movie with you.
Right. That's just like giving, as far as I'm concerned, that's just giving your wife like a lot of bad ideas, like of things to do, of things to like trick you, do to you, and trick you into doing.
Yeah.
Perhaps not the best.
Lady Macbeth, one of the notoriously like worst wives of all time. I guess makes for interesting storytelling. Anyway, I think see it. I think it's worth seeing. So go watch it. It's on Apple TV Plus. We have a subscription.
I agree, for sure. See it. Especially if you can, you know, press that CC button for the closed captioning, do yourself a favor. It's called self-care.
Yeah.
Just watch it. And it's, like I said, it's just beautiful. Like, it's striking, honestly. Like, it's a movie that I don't think would make sense without sound, like in the sense of like a silent movie, but it is that striking that I would say it's almost worth just looking at it, you know?
Yeah.
It's that good.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get into the spoiler filled section, although hilarious to be like, we're about to spoil Macbeth to you.
Right. Officially, the title is The Tragedy of Macbeth. I mean, that's like, pretty spoilery.
Yeah. First performed in 1606. So I think the spoiler is.
Don't tell me who played who back then. I don't want to know.
I the flowery language of Shakespeare, I think, often like, it does make it a little bit more confusing, but I do think like the story of Macbeth, you know, I feel like I'm gonna sound so pretentious here. I don't think it's that complicated of a plot. There is Macbeth, who is like basically a lord. He is the thane of an area in Scotland, basically, you know, like a duke or I don't know what the exact thing is, but you know, he has power and he gets this prophecy from a witch that he sees on the battlefield, these three witches, while he's with his acquaintance, his buddy Banquo, and they're like told of this prophecy that's going to come true, which is like, you will become the Thane of Cawdor, then you'll become the King of Scotland, but also like, Banquo, also like a bunch of your kids are going to become king. And so this like prophecy basically like, you know, it happens, everything that the witches say comes true in the movie, with one, I think, like notable exception, which you can get into later. But everything comes true. And it's sort of this like, you know, corruption, power corrupts absolutely a bit. Macbeth becomes, with the help of his wife, who like pushes him to do things that he might not want to otherwise do, basically just starts killing people and going crazy. They both are then, you know, consumed by the madness of what they have done. And you know, Macbeth wants more answers because the first one wasn't enough. So he reaches out to the witches again. They tell him more prophecies, which also all turn out to be true. And eventually he just like, he dies. He dies at the end of the movie. He's just like, he dies. He was the king, but you know, all of the choices he made to get there basically result in then him also being, getting literally his head chopped. So.
Yeah, and all because he couldn't not have the crown on his head. Like, essentially, at least in this version, visually, he gets his head chopped off because he takes a break in the
final. He does take a little break.
He can put his crown back on.
Yeah,
it's like, it's such a great image. Like, it tells you so much about him and the whole movie. Like, that's what he has wanted, you know, more than anything.
He's holding on to it, right? He's like, he can't let go of this idea that he is the king, and he wants to keep his power, in which the prophecy which told him he would be king is also telling him that somebody else might be king.
Yeah, it was very confusing prophecy. I don't know if it's because there are three witches and they're all like, oh, we're going to tell you a different thing. I mean, obviously, you know, they're all on the same page. But it's a funny thing because he hears something that he loves. He's like, ooh, that's good news. And you hear more, you're like, wait, but what's that?
Yeah, I don't like that other part. I don't like that second part implies that I'm not going to be king the whole time. So I don't know if I like that. Yeah.
Thumbs down on that.
I mean, yeah, that's the point, right? Like he obsessed with power and so like self-absorbed, right? That it's like, yeah, that part of the prophecy is true. But if we just kill everyone else and like the other parts won't be true and that'll be fine.
How do you think this will end? Yeah, I guess if you hear something that enticing and you're a certain kind of person, I guess I wouldn't be personally, let me not like incriminate myself, but yeah. I don't see a normal person hypothetically becoming like murderous over a prophecy that may or may not be true.
What if it was like, you're going to be king though of Scotland?
I'd be like, of Spain? Ooh, Scotland. I like that. They were killed. I almost said skirts. Excuse me. They were killed.
Yeah. See, then you'd be like, I feel like, yeah, it's more. You're like, oh, tell me more. Like, but
tell
not,
me more. Also, like, wait,
your friends' kids are also going to become the king of Scotland. You're like, wait, that doesn't. Like,
nah, not if I kill them. Hmm. And honestly, my first year, if they told me king of Scotland, I was like, well, where's my accent then? Because I don't have that yet.
This is a great segue into what I really loved about this movie is, do we call this? This is the Hamilton. Not that Hamilton was the first movie to ever do it, but the blind casting, is that what we call it? That they are. Denzel Washington I don't know when Macbeth is like actually supposed to be set there or like some, because it's like sort of a fictionalized version of history, because there is some stuff in there based on like different kings who were around at the time. Shakespeare supposedly, so one of the interesting things there is in the prophecy is like Banquo's kids, we never see his kid become king. We don't ever see him, but at the time that he was Shakespeare was writing the play, King James he was the king of England, but he had previously supposed to have been the king of Scotland. So then like this idea is then that like it's sort of like written sort of about him. It kind of like to like endear him a little bit, because he was also obsessed. King James was obsessed with like witches and witchcraft. And so the witches are definitely written in here, definitely, supposedly written into this play. Gosh, some Shakespeare expert is going to be like, actually,
excuse me, I can see them moving their monocle from side to side. Excuse me, I was there in 1606 at the original.
Thou dost not know Shakespeare.
Hark.
So it's written sort of to him. So in the movie and in the play, Banquo's kid, Fleance, never see him become a king. Sort of like, you know, leaving room for a sequel.
The MCU of Macbeth. And
gosh, imagine there was like Shakespearean Cinematic Universe, the SCU.
It's like, would there be anyone left? I mean, there's a lot of death. Again, as a casual, there seems from the outside to be a lot of death in a lot of Shakespearean tragedies, I guess a lot of them are.
About a year or so ago, I had this idea of like, we should have done this thing where we could like figure out like, you know, the EGOT, but of like movie pop cultures. Like if you've been in a Star Wars, if you've been in like the MCU, if you've been in whatever. So I do think if we start the Shakespearean cinematic universe, and then that could be one of the ones on the
Right. On have the you list. Played Banquo? Have you played One of the Witches? The puddle.
And, do you know what would be the best is that like we'd start to get Shakespearean post-credit scenes where there'd be like that's King Lear. That's King Lear. It's gonna the next
I was
one.
Gonna ask you if you stayed for the post-credit scene.
Like, oh, they're bringing in King Lear.
Oh, damn.
They cast Harry Styles as King Lear. That makes no sense.
Don't leave, and then like hashtag don't spoil Shakespeare. Like,
don't,
like
please don't spoil Shakespeare. The statute of limitations on the spoilers.
Be kind, yeah. Be kind to your fellow fans.
Yeah,
That's so sad.
Chris Pratt is Hamlet.
damn it! Shoot. Way too old.
Anyway, that we got here for me talking about blind casting, which I feel a little bad about. It's an important topic that then I was like, but how about this joke? But yeah, I think
who knows? Yeah. Who knows who applied that we'll never hear about?
True.
Auditioned, right?
But yeah, I like this choice of like, yeah, it's just, you know, anybody can play anybody. Like Denzel Washington can play the Scottish king.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy did it first. Like nobody had ever blind casted before Grey's Anatomy season one.
You must be very pleased that there's no post show recaps out of context.
Yeah. There will be eventually. And then we'll all be
I quite like it. You know, we do a lot, you know, we have Denzel Washington, and then we have Corey Hawkins plays Macduff, who ultimately kills Macbeth in the movie. But yeah, I just think like, it doesn't, you know, I think it's not a hot take, but it does not like ruin my believability or like, you know, how would I say this? Like I can suspend my disbelief or whatever during the movie because it's an incredible performance by Denzel Washington. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Would you say that there? Because I know, like, I was doing a lot of reading about Joel Cohen. I guess you'd call it an adapted screenplay. As far as Oscar categories, he adapted the screenplay from the original Shakespearean work.
What if they give it to Shakespeare, the Oscar, and then he has to come out and accept
Shakespeare couldn't come here and haunt us tonight, so we accept this award on his back.
If they do that, and then Denzel Washington can get up and think he sees the ghost of Shakespeare at the Oscar.
Hark! I'm just gonna keep saying. Hark.
He's like swinging his sword. Everyone's like, "This is weird." To the party, no, you're really ruining the party, Lord.
Ooh, yeah, you were good in the movie, but now you're just being annoying. But like, is there a lot that is cut out? Like, it seems like. This is sort of like his attempt at making the story more efficient, for lack of a better word, like a little bit more streamlined. Would you say that there's like a lot of glaring omissions or anything that like is missing that should be there?
So the play length is like much longer than the movie runtime typically. I think it's like a 3-hour-ish play. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. So they definitely did cut stuff out. Again, somebody will be like, because I'm feeling like I don't feel like they necessarily cut out a lot of stuff that's important. I feel like, you know, all of the prophecy stuff is in here. They don't really change much of the prophecy from what I remember. I don't think that they, I'm just like quickly look. Yeah, it doesn't feel like they've cut out a majority of important plot stuff. So,
right. Yeah, he just trimmed the fat. He was like, you know what?
Like I know that
better.
There are people
I can do better than Shakespeare.
There are people I think who do like, and I do think, gosh, if you were like on Apple TV, it's a 3-hour Shakespeare movie. I'd be like, I don't know. Cause I think even like the hour 40 runtime ish of the movie, it's like that's a lot of Shakespeare. Which I think it's like well done. I think that it's like paced really well. It doesn't feel like there's fluff, like, because there's so much in there, right, that you're like trying to parse out anyway. I don't know. I think it's good. But yeah, some people might disagree, think that it's they cut out important stuff. But
I mean, no, not as far as I'm concerned. I would say this is I like this diet Shakespeare that we got.
Yeah.
It tasted great. that's my take on the diet Shakespeare.
Yeah, so I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but like gosh, the like work of Catherine Hunter here to be the three witches is like, I think I would agree with you, it's by far my favorite performance in this movie. It's just so weird the way she's contorting her body, the sound of her voice. It's really perfect.
Yeah, I had to look up where I personally knew her from, because it was one of those like, I know this face and I know this like very particular way that she speaks, that she kind of like her voice sounds. And it was from Harry Potter, the movie series, which
Arabella,
I was like,
Figg. Yeah,
not quite.
She hasn't really been in much. She's much. She actually, you know, she's in Landscapers, the HBO series. She plays Tabitha, series that I'm covering here on post show recaps. She's a very good performance in that. But she hasn't really been in much, even like in TV shows and stuff. She's like tends to be like one or two episodes. So,
right. Oh, she was in Rome apparently, which I liked a lot, but I do not remember.
Four episodes. Yeah, she's much more, I think, known for her stage work, which I think is kind of cool to have, you know, obviously the leads here are like pretty big movie stars, but then to like sort of honor the stage work of the show and the history of the show to have someone like Catherine Hunter, I think is really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm for sure. I completely agree with you. Like the way she's able to maneuver her joints, like clearly she is double jointed or possibly triple jointed, I don't know if that's a thing. It makes it so much creepier, the subtle variations in her voice. They do this cool thing with like a reflection and a puddle of water at one point where it's just her standing there, but then you see the other two witches. Like it's a lot of the time you see her, it's just her, but she's putting on like different voices of the three witches, and it's so effective. And like I couldn't help but like want to have been there when it was happening, like to watch the filming of it, because I just feel like it would have been so incredible to like watch live.
It's a perfect scene to put very early on in the movie because it's so captivating. It's just like you can't look away. I did watch it like again late, like I watched the movie twice, but I specifically watched this scene of her just like contorting. And I don't know, it's just, it's brilliant. It's so good.
Oh my God. When she picks up the thumb, or when she says like a cork, I think it's like a, I don't even know if it's actually a thumb. It might be, it looked more like a cork of like a wine bottle or something.
I think it is.
She's like, oh, look, it's a thumb. And she picks it up with her toes.
Yeah. It's so
I was like, give her the Oscar right now.
Yeah. Later she like coughs up a baby's finger. So, you know, it's a lot of finger and toe themes.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah. I thought it was just incredible performance. And so, we sort of have this like, so the main things of the prophecy in this movie, right, is at the beginning, Macbeth, you will be the Thane of Cawdor and you will be the King of Scotland at some point. But Banquo, you will, what does he say exactly? Something like you'll have a descendants of kings, you'll create a line of kings, something like that.
The kings will come after you. And again, like we said earlier, Macbeth is like, well, I don't like that. What's that about?
Well, at first, I think he does not sure that he believes the prophecy at all. But he very quickly, King Duncan names Macbeth the Thane of Cawdor because the other Thane of Cawdor, he gets his head chopped off. Apparently, he's a traitor.
He was sucking at his job. So
yeah. So he writes to his wife and he's like, hey, some witches, very, very, they must have a lot of trust in their relationship. If he's like, hey, wife, some witches told me that I'm going to be king. Also, I'm the Thane of Cawdor, and I am the Thane of Cawdor now. So,
dear wife,
dear Francis McDormand, Macbeth, Lady Macbeth,
read this letter in like a really dramatic, creepy way.
Also, it's kind of like, you know, it deals with witchcraft. So if you could read it, maybe like privately in the cover of your room. No, I'm going to read it in the hallway. I'm going to walk down. She does burn the letter. She does burn.
Letter. Yes. So she burns the letter, which is literally the least she could do after reading it in the hallway.
Yeah. And so immediately after, like, so she's like, oh, this is great. We got to figure out you're going to be king. And this is great. And then King Duck is like, hey, I'm going to come for dinner. Is that right? I'm going to come for dinner. It's like, okay, Duncan, bad idea.
Don't bad do idea. It.
Dunk. Come on, Dunk.
Dunk. He got dunked on. Dunked
on. Pretty clever. You know what happens here. Lady Macbeth like poisons all the guards so that they're like basically like passed out. But it just looks like they were super, super drunk. Macbeth kills Duncan. And then like in the outrage of finding out, this is great acting from Macbeth himself. He would have won an Oscar if they had them at the time, 1606. It's like, oh, damn you guards. And so he just kills all the guards. He's so mad that they didn't protect Duncan. It's very, very good.
This part was so confusing to me a little bit of just like,
it does seem like he's just immediately killing everybody to cover up his own murder. Yes.
They don't, like, but yeah. he lets the guy go. Like the first person he should kill is the one that's yelling, oh my God, something bad happened, and like leaves the room. So I wasn't sure, to your point, like it makes sense that if he were innocent, he would be like, wow, this is crazy. Like, let's go look at the body together. But then no, he kill them also, like in the room.
But it's a fit of rage that they did not protect the king, right? That's the point, right? He's like, oh, how dare you? You must pay. You did not.
Yes. This regicide is on your hands.
Secretly,
it
was me. Yeah.
Good thing there are no fingerprints yet. Good thing that's not a
thing. Yeah. They did know to draw a chalk outline of the body, I think, at this point. So they remember where it was.
Oh my God, it's a Thane of Quarter. Oh no, that's just the chalk body.
So then his kids, which I get Duncan's kids are kind of like, we should probably leave. It's probably not good. As soon as they leave, they're like, well, those guys are super guilty. They ran away immediately. Nobody was like, do you think they just ran away because their dad was murdered? Nah, it's fine. They ran away because they're guilty.
Yeah, this is you have a lot of Macbeth acting a little bit too unruly, like a little bit too out of character, a little bit too crazy, for lack of a better word. To use,
what do you
like
mean?
What do
you mean?
Word.
The dinner party, is he acting crazy then when he sees it's later? But yeah,
the thing, yes, but that's what I'm thinking of, where she has to, like, the point I was getting to, where it's like his awful wife who, you know, convinces him to like go down this dark path and be like, yes, yeah, I'm gonna push you off the mountain to do this, basically. It's like, oh, it's fine. He gets these fits sometimes.
This is very, I feel like Macbeth here as the Roundling is very much like, I think you should leave. Is it Tom Robinson? Am I going to have the name right? What is his name? Tim Robinson. Is it Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave? He definitely feels a little bit like Oscar, like hot dog car guys. Like, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. Like, we'll get it. We'll figure it out. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of that, of the dinner scene where he's acting crazy and his wife's like, oh, no, it's fine, Lady Macbeth. The part that was like least Shakespearean and most, I want to say, like, everyday, like modern in a way, that felt most modern and felt almost like out of a sitcom, was when everybody is standing in the doorway, watching him like swat at the bird, and then Lady Macbeth just opens the window.
Come on. Ridiculous. It's pretty wild. I mean, the reason he's basically going mad, he is by that point at the banquet, he has killed Duncan the king, but by this point he's also like, boy, that prophecy, I don't like the Banquo's kids. It's like, you two old men, could you go kill Banquo and his son? Flance, can you get him? They're like, yeah, we got him. They kill Banquo, but they can't get Flance. He just gets away through the field. You should have hired not old men, Macbeth.
Yeah, he wants to kill the king, but then he's going to trust these clowns to kill. I guess they're less important. But yeah, it's not a good plan. He's not thinking it through. And Fleance, who, you know, in written word, I pronounced accidentally as Fleance. He just gets via a field. Like, it's very, in the sense of like, this movie is not funny at all. Like, there, it does have like some,
This scene is about literally killing a child.
Just like a little bit silly. Because the circumstances are so ridiculous.
I mean, I don't have a better plan to kill a child, but I think don't hire the two old men. I think. And Ross goes, and yeah. That's fine because he's on a break with Rachel at this point.
It's like, she's like, why did you do that? He was like, we were on a break.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna throw it to our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay, we're back. Back from our break. That was a bad plan. But so he's like super paranoid. He just becomes this like awful king. He's hallucinating. He sees Banquo at the he just rushes out. Chases a bird down the hall. I do love that everybody gets up and follows. It's really great.
Especially when Lady Macbeth is like, please no, please stay here. And everybody's like, nah, we want to see.
That guy's going crazy. So he's gonna go fight a bird. Tell me to stay here.
My money's on the bird. Like, I would have loved that they like start taking bets, like who's gonna win between him and the bird.
And then Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, who is like, so far at least she's had her husband's back, is like, I think I just need to drug you. Calm down.
Here, this is getting too out of hand.
Have some of this poison and go to sleep. And then watch. Oh, great. He then gets more visions. The witches have more prophecies. I love this. I love, and some of this stuff in here, you know, playing on the, I don't know. Do we know collectively as a group whether boil, you know, all that is that witch stuff invented here? Let me see. What is it? Double, toil and trouble,
cauldron burn and children. Dead children bubble.
I just want to, yeah, it's from, so this is really like lasted through pop culture. Double toil and trouble. I feel like every movie that had a witch from the 90s, like double toil and trouble. Yeah. Sounds like isn't it a Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen movie?
It absolutely is from
1993. Double toil and trouble, 1993 American Halloween movie made for TV. Starring the Olsen twins.
I would have said no. I was thinking, what's the one? It's not The Parent Trap. It Takes Two. That's what I was thinking.
You're just thinking of another Olsen Twins movie?
Sorry. Like, I just...
They did a million. Like, that's the point.
I know. That's the problem. Yeah. I didn't know that there was a Halloween one, but of course there was. There was probably one for every holiday and multiple versions because they ran an empire.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where like, yeah, gosh, it's wild that like Shakespeare in 1600 was like, okay, double, toil and trouble. And like, that's a kind of like still a witches thing now, but to your point about like this movie trying to be it is a serious movie on like very serious themes. And yet when the witches are literally like double toil and trouble, you're like, bit on the nose, don't you think? Like, heard that one before, Shakespeare. He actually wrote it, but like,
yeah, one that's in the minus. That's in the minus column for Joel Cole, and he was like, "Oh, I don't know if I can rewrite this one."
Bit on the witch's nose is a big wart. Joel,
maybe triple trouble. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what he thought of that. He then was like, he crossed out. He's like, "No, that's not working."
So there's more prophecy here. The weirdest one is that they're like, so a whole forest is going to come to your castle. And it's like, well, that's never going to happen. So yeah. That's fine.
This ain't Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no trance coming. Let me see here. The other prophecies. And then the big one is like, you need to be careful of
Macduff.
None of women born shall harm Macbeth.
That's which, right.
Like, gosh, does feel like a little bit of like I could see where like if I was like watching this in 1606 and I actually knew what was going on, I'd be like, ooh, a little mystery, a little fun mystery. What could that mean? Like a little teaser.
A tease. Yeah. Something for the post credits, perhaps.
Fun. Yeah, so he'll be king until the great Birnam Wood comes to Dunasan Hill, and that he shall be harmed by no man born of woman. He's like, well, those seem easy enough to avoid.
Right.
I'll be fine.
Yeah. He goes around asking people, were you a C-section baby? Or like, what's going on?
Were you a test tube baby? Or...
Right. were you created in vitro? Like, I would love to know.
I wonder, just tell us, if you're a Shakespeare fan and you're still listening, just let us know on Twitter. Because I feel like I'm enraging them all.
Please do not send us glitter bombs. Or other terrible 1606 things.
Please don't come and kill me. Don't kill me in the night and then kill all my guards. Don't poison my guards while I'm sleeping and kill me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let's talk. Let's just talk. Yeah. First. Let's have a chat.
And so Macbeth is like, boy, none of that sounds great. So I don't know. Just kill. I don't know. Kill Macduff's whole household. Just kill them all. That'll be fine. And then they're like, it turns out Macduff got to England. So just get better assassins.
It's like, again, who are you trusting to do these things? I mean, it's funny, right? Because as he's getting like more and more paranoid, he's like getting more and more, like he's delegating more and more. And you're just like,
these are not things to delegate, Macbeth. These are the things that should be on your to-do list, not Ross's.
Not someone else's.
Yeah.
After he got such a thrill out of killing the king, like just to go back to that for a second, like that was brutal because it just goes on for so long. Like he's staring. First he like...
He like hovers over him. Like
he like smothers his you know, obviously from making noise,
sure
crying out. He smothers his mouth, but then he kind of like stares at him for like a good like 5 or 10 seconds. And then
I'm always impressed
finally inflicts the wound.
Yeah, when he like stabs him. I know like there must be a movie. I've never worked on a movie set. There must be a way to like make this happen, but gosh, it really just looks like Denzel Washington kills Brendan Gleeson here. Just like stabs him in the throat with a knife.
Right.
I guess for the arts. I guess Brendan Gleeson had to pass away so that the knife scene looked realistic.
He's dead. No, yeah, I had the same reaction.
Yeah.
I had the same reaction, and I feel like obviously we have a similar reaction when things like this happen in other movies. It was just like, oh God, it can't be as simple as the knife is just disappearing into the handle. Like
it looks too real. Yeah.
It's too real. Well, RIP to the stunt double that they killed, because obviously Brendan Gleeson is outdoing the press tour. So
yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah. So gosh, turns out that Lady Macbeth is not keeping it all together like Macbeth might like to hope she is. Mm-hmm. Turns out she's sleepwalking and gradually descending into madness. So things are great in the Macbeth household.
It's not great. I wonder if she was sleepwalking when she first got the letter and she was like reading it in the hallway.
Oh, well.
And then she was like, oh, she woke up and she's like, ooh, oh, this is bad. I should burn this.
I do think the movie is mostly about power corrupting you, making you go mad at doing things you wouldn't otherwise do. So I do, I mean, they were, I think he was a Thane before that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a Thane of something lower or something lesser, like Thane
Fyfer, maybe or something.
Thane of Pathmark or something like that.
So anyway, she's the household staffer, just like, ooh, wow. Sleepwalking, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Not great. So then Ross visits England and it's like has to tell Macduff his whole family has died, and Macduff's like, well, I'm not gonna stand for that, I'm probably gonna try and kill Macbeth. This mm-hmm. that's reasonable, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's like one of the few like reasonable actions in this movie.
Yeah,
an overreaction.
Definitely not. If he killed his whole family. And then I just do love this. This is a thing where, like, I just feel like it worked again. I read the article, like, Joel Cohen, just like, how do we make this play that's a movie feel like a play? And to me, this, like, whole, like, they cut the branches down from the woods and then just, like, camouflage and walk forward. Mm-hmm. It feels so unnecessary. I don't know. Maybe I don't understand the advancements of military technology and, like, the 1600s, mm-hmm. the 1500s, but boy, to just be like have enough trees that can cover your whole army, it's again the sitcom-y nature of just like, yeah, we'll just hide behind this bush and the bush will move forward. It really feels like an animated mm-hmm. film. But yeah, they march on Macbeth's castle.
It's kind of like in to your point, like in a play or in a musical where like the I'm not sure if they're called stagehands, but like the people who are like moving the stuff around,
yeah,
are like wearing all black or, you know, yeah. being like where it's like, I can see you like very clearly, but I appreciate that you are trying to keep the illusion, the magic of the thing alive.
Do you want to go when everything opens up, I'll come to New York, we'll go to a play. And every time we see somebody like in black pretending to move props, but wait, do we, they, we see them, right?
I see you over there.
We're going to audibly look to the people beside me like, you see them, right?
Please, Chris. We'll only be able to do it once or twice before we get kicked out. But it would be
perma ban from Broadway.
So worth it. It's like, and then as we get kicked out, we still see you. You can't fool us. Hark.
Or like, yeah, just like, is it funnier to slow, like to start whispering to the person beside you? I'm sure that when they open back up, they won't be socially disorders. Do you see the person? Do you see?
Oh my god, like an escalation.
Yeah, yeah,
I love it. We're slowly becoming more paranoid ourselves. Right. We're growing mad.
That's right. Like there again. There's more people.
I see. That's not a bird. That's not a bird. That is Macduff.
That's a human person. Oh gosh, it's so hard to see Macduff in the play and not think of the character from The Simpsons, Duff Man.
Now we need to see the Shakespearean Duff Man.
Oh no, Duff Man is going to kill Macbeth. Macduff Man. Somebody could break the art for that.
Oh no.
Oh no. I'm gonna chop your head off. Macduff Man.
Justice for Duff Man.
The Shakespearean fans are like, oh, mm-hmm. God. I think that might be the breaking point for them as we started to do Duff Man
impressions. Yeah, they're doing incantations like to send evil spirits against us.
Yeah. Also based on the marching of the army on the castle, Lady Macbeth just dies. She's just dead. She dies, doesn't make it through. That's not good for Macbeth's mental health.
Nah, he's not doing so hot. His one ally that he could be his full unhinged self with is now no longer with him, and he's like, ooh.
Somebody correct me on the patron Discord or on Twitter. Am I thinking of another play? Isn't Macbeth, isn't there a very, very famous scene? And did I just miss it? I watched this movie twice where she like has blood on her hands and she's like trying to wash off her hands. Isn't that a very famous Macbeth scene? Let me
and like the blood and the blood just like won't come off. Like yeah. She's like kind of like haunted by it. Sounds right to me. But that might have been like an Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, she rubs her hands. She rubs her hands for a quarter of an hour. What will these hands ne'er be clean? All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. I think that's a. I thought that was a very, like, super famous, like scene of Macbeth. Otherwise, my teacher was just obsessed with that theme. You know, teachers are, they get obsessed with certain things. So like, this is an important.
Yeah, they're like, this is just a back door. Right. This is just a backdoor like pilot for me to talk about the one thing that I do want to talk about, which is like why she couldn't wash her hands for 15 minutes is what your teacher was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I just remember that I feel like that's like the thing I remember about Macbeth is that she just like can't clean her hands because she's just like she can't get the blood off. It was signifying that she also feels very guilty about what she has.
Right. And so, again, Joel Cohen was like,
nah,
we don't need that.
I mean, maybe it's not important, you know, but I don't, it feels like
maybe
weird. I like that metaphor.
Maybe it's in the deleted scenes.
It's stuck the deleted scenes, yeah. Stuck with me. Macbeth's still feeling like he's like, you know, he's pretty invincible. He's challenged to a duel by Macduff, and he's like, fine, yeah, I'll do that.
MBD, whatever.
Yeah, fine. And then during the duel, should have probably asked before, Macduff's like, I wasn't born of woman, they ripped me out. So she's like, okay, cool. Cool, yes. Battle talk.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, what do you mean? Second of all, I'm gonna run away now because I was warned about you.
Yeah. Macduff just chops Macbeth's head off. I really like this like imagery here of like the crown like floating in the air. Just we don't really see his head get chopped off, but you can like infer it. I think it's really cool. That's the prophecy. All of the prophecy except for Banquo's kids becoming king at some point. Everything has been fulfilled. He was bested by a man born of no woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, it was a super cool image of like you just alluded to with the crown, and like he goes to put it on his head, gets his head chopped off, and like kind of simultaneously is still reaching for it as it's flying off.
Yeah.
And the last thing he does, like right before he dies, is like reach for the crown again.
Reach for power. Yeah. Can't help himself.
And it's falling away from him, like basically forever, because it travels in like this arc where it's like going up and then down, and then the camera just like follows the crown.
Yeah,
because he's dead. I mean, what are you focus on him for?
Gosh, I don't think this is a hot take. Turns out Shakespeare's really good at like themes and metaphors.
Killing people. Yeah,
he's like a pretty good writer. That guy.
He's gonna win. He's gonna win the EGOT one day. Like gonna go full EGOT eventually when people finally start respecting him.
Yeah, put some respect on that man's name, you know?
Yes. Will. Yes, he's not famous enough.
Yeah, and so Malcolm is crowned the King of Scotland, and Fleance is he's alive, and Ross takes him on a horse and they fly to Scotland, and the crows. We see at the end of the movie there's a lot of crows on the hill.
Where were all these crows? Where were all these crows before?
Under the hill, apparently. I don't know.
We saw crows before.
We
but
saw
like,
crows in the when he's chasing the crow. Yeah, it's like
not
you know,
this many.
The fire of death, you know.
This was like the end of this one random Game of Thrones episode that I'm now thinking of, uh-huh. Where the crows are just flying in.
Yeah, they don't have three eyes. I was going to say it reminded me of the birds, but yeah.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
the actual birds.
Yeah, no, not any movie. Just reminded me of the bird, like the birds.
Just birds. The band, the birds.
I don't know if birds were a real thing when like Shakespeare was around, and if these are a thing that he like invented, and then they were invented. Like he's invented so many words and phrases and things that I just wasn't sure if he invented birds.
In 1606, the world was so different.
It's so different.
There were no birds. It was
there was
like,
no light.
Lizards like evolved into birds.
There was no lights. Everything was in black and white, like we saw in the movie. This is a documentary.
I feel
so loopy today. I feel like
this is the loopiest I've felt recording a post.
Did you get poisoned? Did you get poisoned by Lady Macbeth? Like before we came on the air?
I don't know. I guess House of Gucci was pretty loopy. I feel like
with you. It always comes back to House of Gucci, another famous Shakespearean work.
That's right. Jared Leto's in the Shakespearean cinematic universe.
The oldest tragedy of all time.
Joseph Gucci. Yeah. All right. Well, that's the tragedy of Macbeth.
Is it?
We did it. We perfectly recapped the movie for Shakespeare buffs.
We tried. I genuinely believe that we tried.
I really liked the movie. I really loved it. I thought it's beautiful. It's stunning. It's beautiful. It's like Shakespeare. The like language of it is like, I feel like, you know, like, yeah, you have to watch it a lot of times, like read it a lot of times to like be able to get. I remember like reading the books in school where they like gave us the books that are like, here's everything important on the, here's what they're saying on the side of the page. But like, there's like stuff in there that like, is just actually like legitimately like beautiful. Like I can't like, you know, there's like obviously the like famous lines from this movie, but like I don't know, there's just like, it's, you know, there's a reason like it's like it's partially poetry, you know, it's great. And I just thought this was really fun. It was really good. I'd watch it again at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I'd for sure watch it again. I mean, to your point about Shakespeare in general, there it is. Like, I do have fond memories of reading. I don't remember reading Macbeth. That doesn't mean that it wasn't assigned to me at some point. But I do not remember reading it. But I do remember reading a lesser known work, or at least as far as I know, a lesser known work, Two Gentlemen of Verona. And then we put on a play, and I was in the play.
Oh.
And some of the language, and like, it's true what you're saying. Like, the language really is, especially when you can, I mean, this was, what, like the fifth or sixth grade, so we were like a little on the younger side, but no, it's probably like seventh grade, who cares. When you really like dig down and like understand what it is saying, like thematically, literally, it's always usually dealing with ideas that are so profound, and the language like meets that, like where that is, you know, it elevates the those ideas, and it's incredible. And to your point, it's why all these years later, why we're still talking about DJ Shakespeare.
Yeah, I was trying to see if there was any like famous movies that are based on Shakespeare. I couldn't really find anything in the same way that like apparently.
Ten Things I Hate About You.
Is it
that one? Did I make that up? I feel like that's a thing.
She's the Man is based off of Twelfth Night is like a good example. Lion King. What is Lion King? Lion King based on Hamlet, I believe. Lion King is adapted Hamlet.
That makes sense. Sure. 10 Things I Hate About You, loosely based on Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew.
Okay. Yeah.
Shout out to all my friends who loved that movie growing up, and I have probably seen all of, but never in one sitting.
Yeah, I don't see really anything that like I immediately recognize as like a famous movie where I, based on this list I'm reading, that's like most of the stuff where they're like, this is based off Macbeth. They're like, yeah, it's called Macbeth. There's a 2015 movie. They're like, yeah, it's based on Macbeth.
This is based on Macbeth. Ah, yes, Macbeth.
There's like the Damned 1969 movie that's highly rated. There's like Instruments of Darkness, a 2014 movie starring Sean Bean, but and Charles Dance, and Rupert Grint. But like, yeah, nothing I think that like is like super famous. People shout us out on Twitter or on
Halloween, Discord. Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Save the Last Dance, all based on, actually Save the Last Dance.
What's Halloween based on?
I was totally kidding. That's not a real thing. Please don't at me.
All right, that's Tragedy of Macbeth. You watch anything else this week, Ariel?
Let's see. I did watch a documentary. I'm trying to remember.
I didn't really watch anything else.
You know what I watched in theaters that I've seen many times before, and this is probably not like worth calling out.
Spider-Man. No way.
We've spoken about that enough. my shame. My shame is no bounds.
Pride and Prejudice.
With
Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden. Yeah. I had never seen it. I had never seen it in theaters. I've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
God, that movie is so good. Like,
it's really good.
I knew that it was good and I was a fan and it's like my kind of movie.
Yeah.
But it is better than I remembered. And it is just like a genuinely amazing movie. I would, you know, I would recommend it to anyone who cares about romantic stories. Like, I wouldn't, I guess it is funny, but it's not like a rom-com in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
You know, Jane Austen, another famous writer.
Yes.
Jane Austen.
Yes. I didn't really watch much this week. Last week I was on the Movie Ladder podcast. So I did watch a movie called Once, which is not new, but I did watch it.
Oh, the musical?
Yeah.
Movie?
Yeah, an Irish
movie.
Did you
like it?
I thought it was cute. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. It's one of those movies where I thought during it, I mean, you're outing yourself as not listening to the Movie Ladder podcast, but that's okay.
I was waiting.
Listen, nobody needs to listen to all my podcasts. It's a movie where I felt like during it, I was like, yeah, okay, all right, it's all right. I mean, they really want us to like sit in this like experience. Like, there's not a ton to the movie. It's like 120 minutes, maybe less than that, I think, actually. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I was like, oh, that was really good. That was really like, I think the ending makes the whole movie better. So, yeah, I mean, that's just like, I'm talking about a movie from like 2007, but yeah.
I loved that movie. This was, I'm gonna like, out myself as an early Netflix snail mail adopter.
Ooh,
I
yes.
remember getting this DVD in the mail from Netflix, and I mean, first of all, just that process, like waiting for it. You're like, wow, it's coming! Ah, it's so exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got it, and I was like, damn, this movie's good. Like, there's something it's such a simple story. I hadn't thought about
the,
it. So
the
long,
two,
so
the two leads are not like actors really, they're singers, and like nobody in the movie is really like named, like the main characters, guy and girl. So there's like the simplicity to the movie. It feels sometimes like it's like just a really long music video, because like it's mostly scenes where they're just like singing and then we're watching them sing. But it's really cute, it's really good. Yeah,
it's a sweet story. And I think they at least temporarily after were like an actual singing performing duo. I was gonna say band, but I guess it's not a band. Even had
they
a
were
name that I swallow session. I'm getting things confused in my head, but they had a name that they went by as a performing couple. Just a sweet, lovely movie. I'm so glad that you reminded me of that movie. I'm so grateful.
All right, Ariel, what where can people find you, and what else you got going on?
People can find me on the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord, where we chat about things and give our hot takes on things that sometimes people do not agree with. We just
not
did
to out the day that we're recording, but you can't go on the Discord today. The Discord's like, I'm down. I need
earlier.
They're breaking down like Lady Macbeth.
I was on afterwards, and people were like, oh my God, what happened? And I said, what did happen? I feel like I missed something. Like there was like a blip, and now I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
We just did a top 10 movies of the year of 2021, as voted on by the patrons of Post Show Recap. So this was like a very curated, highly sophisticated list of movies. And that was super fun. You and I, Josh, covered that. And I was also on Shit 90s pod with Jess and Sarah. And we covered Final Destination, which is a trip to revisit. Very appropriate in the shadow of just having watched Scream recently.
Yes, very much so.
So yeah, a lot of teenagers dying, and a lot of teenagers not dying in this movie. So I guess balance is restored to the universe. I think that's it as far as my shameless plugs. What's going on with you?
So a lot. So Euphoria, which you can listen to on Posher Recaps. If you're specifically interested in HBO shows, PosherRecaps.com/HBOPod will get you the feed for all HBO coverage that happens over on Posher Recaps, including Euphoria, as well as my coverage of Landscapers with Sarah Carradine, which has been very fun. Also diving in sometime next week, I believe next Monday, we are launching into the world of Raised by Wolves. We're heading to Kepler 22b. It's an HBO show that dropped last year. It's very weird, it's very dense, but it's very interesting, compelling. So Josh and I will be covering all of season one. We were joined on season one episode one by a very special guest who will then also join us for season two. So that is exciting. Tune in for that. And then also have a sports show over on Rob as a Podcast. We're talking about the biggest sports stories in the week. Ariel's been on. We talked about the Australian Open, which is coming to a close this weekend. Yeah, sad, but should be some fun matchup. So, yeah, check all that out over on Rob Has a Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at High From Grace. I think that's it. That's our Macbeth coverage. It's a tragedy.
Our coverage of it was certainly a tragedy.
<that's right. laughs> to some, but hopefully not all. Until then, we'll see you next week. Bye.